of this Mizmor. Mizmor Sanhedrin is the last part of the Ritual. There's literally explosive stuff. Cutting ahead. Okay, warning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi.
No, we just opened now.
Okay, let's start over here. We have over here page 538. Page 538, we have coming after the third part of the Mizmor. There are three parts of the Mizmor. Each part, well, the first two parts concluded with the word Selah. And now we come to part three. Part three is really explosive stuff. These psukim over here, it's a wow. You really can shake your head in what it says. So if you have some of the way, especially the eloquence of the mefarshim and how they what they say about this world, and specifically about wealthy people, people that are very, very rich. It's really, really scary stuff. Let's see. Ach, pasuk yud. Page 538, Pasuk Yud, Part 3 of this Mizmor. Ach, Hevel B'nei Adam. B'nei Adam, we're going to refer to human beings with two different terms. There's B'nei Adam, and there is B'nei Ish. What's the chilek between B'nei Adam and B'nei Ish? Okay, so there's a little discussion. Simply, you would say B'nei Adam represents the common man.
Yeah, one second. I thought Ben Adam is a term used exclusively by
Adam Atem. Only Atem Kuruim Adam. Oh, okay, interesting. Well, let's look in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, when we start the sugya of Negoim, it starts with Adam. Ki yev or bisroi negat saras. But then it segues into Ish oi Isha. Ki yev nega beor bizokon, beberoisha bizokon. Even in this week's parasha, there's a shift between beginning the parasha with the word Adam, describing Negoim with the word Adam, and then describing Negoim with the term Ish. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you look, we look in the Targum is something very fascinating. It says also, Kiye uvosar, Kiye boinoga. There's another term, another section, and the Targum says the translation of the word vosar is not what the average person thinks. It means flesh. It means enosh, a person. Basically, as in man is called a vosar vidam. So in this week's parasha alone, in Parashas Tazria, there are three different distinct terms, at least three distinct terms. In each nega, each type of nega, the pasuk begins by describing the person with a different distinct term. Either we start Adam, then we say bosar, as in bosar vidam. Bosar, according to the Targum, does not mean in the flesh. It means if a person has a discoloration. It doesn't mean like the average person says, if there's a discoloration in the person's flesh. Because it's not, that's not only the flesh, it's really the or. The or. Targum translates the word bosar as an enash, a person. A person has a nega. In other words, bosar is a word to mean bosor vidam. And then it says ish o isha. So in this week's parasha alone, as you go through the different negoim, we go from an adam to a bosar vidam to an ish.
So a nega is strictly on the skin, on the surface?
L'chor, yeah, on the R. What is the difference between the R and the bosar? The bosar is underneath. Where the nega, l'chor, is a discoloration of the skin.
Yeah.
It's not a discoloration of the flesh.
The nega itself doesn't go beyond
it. It may penetrate down into the flesh, but what you're looking at, what the Kohen is looking at, is the R.
Yeah.
So why does it say, u'bosar kiye boy noga? So, I mean, we've all been taught this. Bosar means it's just another word for the skin. You go look at the skin. On the skin, you see, on your bosar, you see a discoloration. That's how we all learn. Targum says not what it means. And it means the word bosar is another way to describe a human being, as we commonly say, bosar vidam. So the result is there are three different distinct terms that are used in this week's parasha, at least in the beginning of the parasha. I didn't get so far. To describe a human being, we start off the parasha Adam, then the next sugya of nega michya michva. It's we're calling like a bosar vidan gets a nega, and then the third category we go further by the nesek on the beard or on the roish. It's called an ish o isha. Okay, so there are many different terms. So here in this Mizmor as well, it starts with Ach Hevel B'nei Adam. And then it says, Kozov B'nei Ish.
We say, Bechol B'nei Basar Ikiru Bishmecha.
I'm sorry? Oh, Bechol B'nei Basar. Right, there are psukim all over Tanakh, and especially the Nusach HaTfilah, that we call a person a Basar V'dam. So here as well. Now here it doesn't say the word basar, but I just wanted to point out is that don't take anything for granted. Every time you have a description of a human being, there are multiple terms, and each term has a different connotation, especially in the context of what we learned yesterday. You can't really be very hold any word down to be accountable for a precise translation of Lashon HaKodesh, because every word is defined by its context. Here we have over here two different terms. We have over here, we say Ach Hevel B'nei Adam, and then it says Kozov B'nei Ish. What's the chilek? So we'll see in the parsha. We're going to do a lot of reading over here because everything over here on this page is literally is off the charts, explosive stuff. But just on a very superficial level, the difference is an Adam is common man. The common man is an Adam. A person who has authority can push you around is called an Ish, a person who dominates. Okay, I always like to joke around with people. I know, so certainly I said that they they have a job. What is their job? They basically push people around. Certain people, you know, you're an employee and you work for your boss, you worship your boss, you're so scared to do the wrong thing, he's not gonna give you, not gonna pay you, he's not gonna give you a bonus, not gonna do this, not gonna do that. Then you have people who are in charge. And what do they do the whole day? They don't do any work. They just push people around. And some people, they love it. They love it. The hanok.
I have some other description.
They love it. They love to push people around, to control people, manipulate and domineer. They don't do any work. You know, you have people, you know, you have some people will tell you about certain institutions where the people are, and they do very skilled work. And you have to go to school for many years and have a lot of experience. And these people, they work their way up the ranks. And you would think that they work their way up the top of the company, so they would be dealing with the most v'dover, like Moshe Rabbeinu, v'dover ha-godol, v'dover ha-kosheh, the higher you are in the hierarchy, you deal with the most complicated matters, right? If you're a doctor, you get the most complicated medical cases. If you're an accountant, whatever, you deal with the most sophisticated calculations. No, in the way the world works today, in most of these institutions, the higher you go, the less work you do. And what do the whole day? You become an administrator, and you just push people around. You push people around, which is a very sad reality, is that, you know, you would think all that experience, all that hard work, you should be dealing with more complicated matters and practicing what your profession is. And that's not the way the world is. The higher you go in almost every industry, you become an administrator. And I worked with someone, and I was like in a certain place, I don't want to give away too much information, I worked with someone, And the person that was like the top, what did he do the whole day? He did scheduling. He was arranging the schedule. Like, what? That's what you do the whole day. You don't do what we all do on a much higher level. No, he hates doing that. He detests doing that. I used to do the schedule for my father's shul. It was a ton of work. It was a ton of work, all the calculations of the Zman, the Mincha, Ma'ariv, and this and that. It was a ton of work. And I come into the office there, and we're talking, and I see, and like he's doing the same thing that I do for free. And he's getting paid an enormous amount of money, and he doesn't do, the skillful work. It's a very sad state of reality. But okay, we're getting sidetracked. There is a B'nai Adam, and there is a B'nai Ish. B'nai Ish over here in this pasuk refers to people that are on the top. Notice it says.
Because work has a schedule also. It's interesting to look at his schedule.
But Hashem does all the hard work also. Hashem does that in addition to all the hard work. Oh, we're going to talk about Zivugim over here very soon. Okay, next. So Ach Hevel B'nai Adam, Kozo B'nai Ish. And then it says an extremely difficult expression, which is subject to enormous interpretation, and every single interpretation that we're going to learn is literally explosive. And what's the expression? The expression is bimoznayim lalois hema mehevel yochad. What is that? On page 538. Page 538. Now, what does that mean? Basically, I'll give you, we'll just start off on the very, and we'll read inside. Okay, I didn't say that. That's another pshat. That's maybe your pshat, which is pretty similar. But it basically means over here is that if you take all these people and you would put them on a scale, you have a maznai means a scale. There are two parts to the scale. On one side, you put the weight, and the other part, you put the commodity. Right, I want a half a pound of coleslaw. So on one side you put coleslaw, and on the other side you put a weight, a half a pound. So you put the weight that's a half a pound on one side of the scale, and it drops to the bottom. Now you have the container with the coleslaw, and you get a little more, a little more, a little more, until it evens out. Right, so one side is the weight. So here's our scale. We have here hevel. Hevel havalim. Havel, havolim, hakol, hovel. Futility. The concept of total nonsense. Dvarim, betelim, umavutalim, garnish and garnish. Total garbage nonsense. We're going to put that on one side of the scale. Okay? So, hevel doesn't weigh anything. It's nothing. It's worthless. So the scale is all the way up. Then we're going to take humanity. We're going to take B'nai Adam and B'nai Ish. So you would think certain types of people. We're going to take, let's start with some of the politicians. Some of the local. We'll first start with some of the local. So they're human beings. No, they're human beings.
That's questionable.
They're human. Okay. Right. You would think. Okay, so you would think if you have on one side of the scale, hevel, nonsense, and you put a politician, a human being on one side, right away, it would go, the human being, the politician would go all the way down, and the hevel, which doesn't weigh anything, would just go down. No, you know what happens?
No.
Just the opposite. The hevel weighs more than the politician. Okay, let's put some more politicians, and more, and more. Let's put them all.
Really,
guess what?
Violating the laws of physics.
After you put on the scale, the totality of B'nai Adam, who are the hevel of B'nai Adam, and the kozov, the liars of the B'nai Ish, guess what? You know what weighs more? You know what weighs more on the scale? Hevel weighs more. Because these people are called havel havolim. The politicians, the corrupt people of this world, in this is what the Radak says, and the Ibn Ezra says, they are called havel havolim. And the nonsense that goes on in the world is only called hevel. So hevel weighs more on the scale than the people that are the people that are meshugayim and the liars. They weigh less. So on the scale you put on one side the concept of hevel, on the other side you put these evil people,
the phonies,
and what happens on the scale? On the scale is the hevel weighs more. It goes down, and these people go up. That's how worthless they are. That's how empty.
Hevel also means a breath, which has no substance,
right? But in this context, it means futility,
yeah.
Nonsense.
On the air.
This is the basic gist of the parts according to basically everyone, but everyone has a little bit of a nuance in being more precise in explaining this. So you have to read the words a little bit out of order.
You know my style usually to look at the previous pasuk.
Okay.
Even though there was a stella. The previous pasuk, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And look at this. And right away, in comparison, he put
to the extreme opposite. Okay.
The extreme opposite.
The previous part, Bitchu v'Becholes. Yeah, it's true. Now it's Ach. True. Ach is a rejection. Ach, we learned yesterday, ach, it doesn't just mean only. It's a rejection of what, it's the opposite of what it said before. Ach, Hashem is the ultimate davar of yesh, lahanchil le'ohava yesh, substance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate substance in this world. Ach, but these type of liars, they're zero. they're so zero that if you would put them on a scale and on the other side of the scale, what's it called? What do they call the plates? The kaf maznaim. What is the kaf called in English? What?
There's a word for it.
There's a special fancy word for it. The kaf maznaim. There's a scale, and each part of the scale has a kaf. In English, there's a certain word for it. If you put hevel on one side and put all of these evil people on the other side, they're so worthless, they would weigh less. Because they are called havel havalim, and everything else in the world is stam hevel. Hevel, people that waste their life, that's hevel. But liars and criminals and people who are thoroughly corrupt and have nothing better to do but to make everyone's life miserable for no logical reason, they are havel havalim, and they rise even higher. So he look at the pasuk, bimoiznayim la'aloi. So we're going to try, you have to translate the words backwards. Read it as if it says in the pasuk, la'alois bimoiznayim. If you would attempt to put on a scale, if you would attempt to put them on a scale, to bring them up on a scale, hema. Let's take one more word, hema yochad, all of them together. You have to be very creative, and I'm not making this up. You can see the mitzvah stuff. Every one of the mafarshim struggle how to really translate the words, and they all basically come to the conclusion you can't really translate the words in order. And you have to take the word yochad means all of them together. That means all of the liars and corrupt individuals of this world, whether they're just followers or they are the people who have authority, but they all have in common they are corrupt. If you would take hema means they, yochad, all of them together, and you would bring them up on one side of the scale, the result would be they would be way less. They would weigh less than mehevel, than the other side of the scale that is hevel. That's how lightweight these people are. That's how nothing they are, which is a nechama in a way, because easy come, easy go. Just
aim the hevel shoved.
Okay, so there are different.
They're worthless.
There are different interpretations, right? You're right. There are different nuances. There are different nuances in how to explain the exact words. But the concept is basically the same. Either they want to say they weigh the same as Havel, they're equal. But most of the Farshim, they say no. They say they go even higher. Because they are called Havel Havolim.
Rashi says it's equal.
Okay, go ahead. So it's this idea. And in a certain way, you know, there's a certain nechama in that. Because like you see today, people who have no substance, they can just disappear overnight. Because the pasuk is telling us here, there's no substance. Something which has substance has a kiyum. Something which is real has value. Just like, it doesn't just go away. Because that's not the way Hashem made the world. Hashem made the world that something that has value will remain. Something which is just fluff, soilless, the wind comes and blows it away. And these people, they may be in charge, they may be in power, they may dominate, but you know, one day a wind comes and blows them away. And in a blink of an eye, all the meshugayim are gone. Because they have nothing real to offer.
No substance.
People who are yirei shamayim, who have values, have morals, that stays. That doesn't go away. Temporarily, there may be some corruption which tries to push them away, but the truth is you can't get rid of them. They will ultimately endure where the people who are worthless, they have no weight. They're lighter than hevel, and they disappear. Mm-hmm. Now let's now take a look at
the term in the industry apparently is feet.
What?
The two sides of the scale are called feet?
Feet?
F-E-E-T?
Like your foot. Yes.
Okay, feet.
Feet.
Every part of the scale has a term. And to prove it, you look at Masech de Kalim. In Masech de Kalim, it's a great play. Masech de Kalim, you have to use the picture books. The Mishnah Behira is the ultimate picture book. The Mishnah Behira, three volumes on Masech de Kalim. it's astonishing, the clarity, and then you go to the Mishnayos and every dealing with all the various kelim, and you look at especially the scale. The Mosnaim is a very good example. There are two things that I always find very is the Mosnaim and the oil, the yolk of an animal. They have multiple parts. Each one of these two things has multiple parts, and each part, it's not just in the world of halacha. Is it tame? Is it not tame? Is it called a kli by itself? Is it what status does it have? All of them together, each one part, but also each one of the parts is symbolic. It has its own metaphor of what its role is in this utensil, in this functional utensil. But there are multiple parts.
Like the grinding mill also, the different.
The mill also has two parts. Also, you know, the whole the buchia, the weaving process. Each there are many different parts. Any utensil that has multiple parts and is discussed by Chazal, you know, there's a lot of halacha. Each thing has its unique halachas, and in the world of Agada, each thing has its whole concept. So, for example, what exactly is the oil? It's very, very fascinating. We makabel upon ourselves the oil. Malchus Shamayim. What does that mean exactly? A yoke. What's a yoke? So you have to go to Masechta Kelim. And Masechta Kelim, it describes in great detail what is a yoke. It's not just a piece of wood. It's a very complicated mechanism, apparatus. And which part of the apparatus is called the oil? It's a machloikis rishonim. It's machloikis.
There's
either a peg or it's a bar. And the nafkamina is, when we are mekabel ol malchus shamayim, what exactly are we doing? And the nafkamina is, well, first define precisely what is the oil. The oil is used to, it means there's a whole apparatus, but in the Mishnayis, the oil is a very specific part of that apparatus. And it does a very specific function. And the nafkamina would then be that when you mekabel ol malchus shamayim, what exactly are you doing? The same way you have that concept by ol, you have it also when it comes to the mosnayim, the scales. The scales is a whole apparatus, has many parts, and there are a lot of terms, a lot of different vocabulary words in this mechanism. Okay, anything over here, we're dealing with this. Now let's see over here the Mitzudos of Goslov. So there's a lot of very, very interesting things here. Let's start with Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos David. Ach Hevel B'nei Adam. Habi Tachayin. So the Mitzudos David says over here like exactly what Rav Kalman said. Rav Kalman is online. You can't see him. He's Roye Ve'enoy Nireh. Okay, so it says here.
He's also not Roye everything. He's just you. He's Roye.
We know now where Shlomo got his book, Kohelet. Uvei Kohelet Ben David.
Yeah.
Melech Yerushalayim. Harvel Havalim Makol Havel. He got the lesson from this
pasuk. He got it from the Shlomo HaMelech. It's building upon his father. You want to. Everything that Shlomo says is rooted in Tehillim. He's saying the Chiddush, and when he talks of Havel Havelim Akol Havel, you got to go back to the Tata, and the Tata he talks about Hevel here in this pasuk. That's the central theme of Sefer Kohelet. True. Okay, let's see the Mitzvot David. Mitzvot David. Achem ben Adam yil habitachon. This is a contrast to what it said in the previous. The previous passage says have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it says over here habitachon el ben Adam hu hevel. Having faith upon men is hevel. The chazav, and it's a lie. To have confidence in man is futile, and it's actually worse. It's a lie. Vidavar she'enoi miskayim, he adds, embellishes this. It means it's not going to have kiyum. Next, b'moiznayim la'alois, hu inyan melitza. This is a metaphor. We're now comparing these people, or you know, you have to be careful what he means to say. We're having confidence in people, or actually the people themselves.
Wait a second. How are we learning? Are we learning? Hevel is
futility.
And then he's saying, "Cause of
Bineish
is a double shame of the sky."
It's a continuation. Having faith in man is a lie. It's an expression. I don't know if you can take it literally. This idea, this concept.
No, my question is he separating the concept of Hevel and Kezev?
It seems not.
Hevel is you're talking about Bnei Odom, and Kezev is a double shame of the sky.
Kezev is a lie. Kezev literally means a lie.
Right.
And he's saying, it what is a lie? A lie, the sheker ein loy raglayim.
It's a little tricky, but I think what I would think he was saying would be that hevel is when you trust in bnei odom, you know, lo tiftach bnei odom, say no chu or whatever. Avot kara bnei odom, and hevel and kezev is a double shein the miskayim.
Okay, it's the same kind. It's just like a poetic. It's an elaboration. It's the same idea. Like you can be medayik, you know, different concepts could be, but it's for our purposes, we're just going to be very simply.
Maybe it's
who hevel and the dozen
is all one thing.
Who hevel v'chazav. Period. V'davar she'enay mismah. I don't think he's trying to be so medactic. He's just saying that it's like he does a very poetic repetition.
Shine. What he's saying it's two different things in the pasuk. You're putting one thing on one side and nothing on the other side. He's saying that the two of them are the same thing.
Okay, all the mafarshim are going to make a big deal about it. You are correct. All the mafarshim are going to differentiate between bnei adam and bnei ish, and you're going to connect adam with hevel and connect Kozov with Ish. Correct. The Mitzudas David usually doesn't like, he does, just poetic repetition. Shoyna Hadavar b'miloy shoynas. He very often does that. Sometimes not. Sometimes he actually goes and he says Chidushim. Okay, for right now, it's warming up.
Well, maybe he's saying they're both Dover Shein and Miskayim. So you put one on one side and they
Okay.
They're equal weight, and you know, there's no...
Ayin Panim L'Torah. Yes. Absolutely. Let's now go to the next.
What the book just says, Bnei Ish are also Bnei Adam, but they think that they can go up and become Bnei Ish. That's the shekel.
He's saying a drush. Of Kalman is saying a different drush. He's saying is the hevel of Bnei Adam is that they think they can become great.
Let's see the mitzvah.
What does it mean over here on the scales la'alois? Who inyan melitza? This is the metaphor. We're using the scale as a metaphor for describing the nothingness of these individuals, these people who are worthless. Who inyan melitza loymar im nachshav la'alois? If you will nachshav, if you will plan, if it will come upon your thoughts, your mind, to weigh, to go into a takeout store and put on a scale. They don't even do this anymore. After COVID, no more open food. Everything now is prepackaged, in most stores at least. Loimar im nachshav, if you will go and consider lehalois b'moizne mishko, to bring upon the kaf moznayim, the different. Like he said it's called the feet of a scale. Okay, the different compartments of this, the two different sides of the scale.
Maybe calf.
Calf, right? A calf. The calf maznayim. The calf maznayim is the plate. You have a scale. You have two different. You have two on a scale. Everyone knows on the Orna Kodesh and Rosh Hashanah. Everyone knows what the scale looks like, right? You have two sides of the scale. If it will come upon your mind, lecha alois b'moizne mishkol heimo yochad. So notice how he is changing the pasuk. He's dramatically reading the words out of order. He reversed the two words. It says in the pasuk, "Bimoznayim la'alois." For us to make it simple to translate without all the sophistication, take those two words and reverse them. La'alois bimoznayim. If you would want to bring up upon a scale, hema they yochad. Ignore the word hevel. Okay, hema. He means all of them. Yochad together. Let's read the Mitzvah David. I know Rav Mordechai. You told me Rashi says different, but let's just do one thing at a time. Okay, im nachshav lahalois b'moizne mishkol hema ve yochad ritzoynoi loymar. Now he's going back on not the people themselves. You see what he's saying? I didn't really appreciate this until now. Habitochoin, because this is a continuation of the previous pasuk. If you will put upon the scale the value of having faith in man who is worthless and is a liar, shall kol bnei adam have faith and confidence in humanity, oz nira, you will then come to the conclusion shehema, that man and humanity kalim, they weigh less, they are lighter, ufichusim, and are have less worth, less substance, midivrei hevel, than hevel itself, may hevel. So according to the Mitzudas David, on one side of the scale is the concept of having faith in man. You believe in your elected officials. You believe they're going to bring you the salvation. That's what you put, that concept put on one side of the scale. On the other side of the scale, put the concept of futility, the concept of total nonsense, of insanity. And which one weighs less? Insanity has more weight. Hevel has more weight and goes pushed all the way down. And the concept of having faith in man goes up, is lighter. This is the melitza. This is a metaphor in order to penetrate our thick heads to realize, what are you having faith in man? The only one to have faith, ein anu lishoin ela al avinu shebashamayim. Unbelievable, the beautiful pasuk, unbelievable, you know. When you look at the scales on Rosh Hashanah, on the Faroiches, you have a whole new concept. You think about this pasuk.
Can we the symbol of justice itself, how it's supposedly blind, right?
Could we possibly just translate this straightforward? Hevel b'nei Adam k'zav. The nonsense of the b'nei Adam is all lies.
Okay.
It does nothing.
Okay.
B'nei ish b'moznayim lalas. And you want to put b'nei ish on the other side of the scale to raise it up, to raise up that hevel, that this weighs more. No. Hamor the hevel yachid. They are equal. The hevel, they're all the same.
You're saying idea. Okay, are you saying something? I gotta think about it.
Translating it straightforward.
The truth is, everyone is saying the same thing. It's just how you parse the words and how you nuance it.
It's almost the same because I'm saying that they're all the same. Hevel and these bnei ish are all.
Okay, that's what Rashi is saying. Mordechai, that's what Rashi is saying. That's what Rashi is saying.
Versus saying that they're even less than it.
There is a difficulty. This is a really great pasuk to illustrate this concept. We only repeat about 1,000 times here. Is when you learn a pasuk in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, don't think you're going to read the words in order. You have to. It's a puzzle. Every single pasuk, we always say, is a puzzle. And here is a really great example of the Mitzvah Stavah taking this pasuk and telling you, put the words on the table. Put the words on the table and rearrange them. Rearrange the order in order to decipher and to make sense out of it. And therefore, what we do over here is we put la'alois b'moznayim, heima yochad. If you would take the entire, all of them together, yachad means the totality of this concept of having confidence and faith in man, and you would attempt to put it on a scale on one side, and on the other side of the scale, there would be nothing. You would discover may hevel. Now he's adding words. You can't ignore the fact that he's adding a quite a number of words into the last word. The last missing word of the pasuk, according to the Mitzvah stuff, it needs a lot of explanation. You would discover that the concept of having confidence and faith in man weighs less, is lighter than the principle of hevel. That's a lot of words to add into the last word. But that's what he does. Let's read those words again over here at the end and let's just stop it.
I think I just figured out why. No, because it says hevel twice. So he's tied, when he touches up hevel b'nei Adam.
But he's not going back on that.
No. He's saying, at the first, with the beginning of Yud, it's in the Stavit, he says hevel b'nei Adam, that's between b'nei Adam. That's the first case of hevel. Achevel b'nei Adam, that's bitochin. And kozav b'nei Yish, that's talking about, kozav dovah shenu miskayim, whatever it is. It was zayim lagos, so hey, my yochad hevel. In other words, you put the hevel b'nei Adam, and the kozav b'nei, which he touches up, that's the first hevel. Then there, all of them together, hevel on the other side.
Okay, yeah. it's all saying the same thing. We're just trying, everyone.
That's
what
you're saying.
Where Shlomo Melech got his idea from. Kishem she'ein parts ufeim shavos kach ein de oiseim shavos. Everyone has a different way of nuancing and approaching.
Okay.
So look at the first wide line. Ritzayin alaymar habitachayin shel kol b'nei Adam Oz nire, it appear, then it appears, Shehema kalim ufichusim midivrei hevel.
The second hevel.
They're lighter. Who mikra hafuch. Now, the way, obviously, he comes to apologize. Really? That's what it says in the pasuk? I've done some real cut and paste here. I've taken a sharp knife and sliced up this pasuk and rearranged the words in a way that David HaMelech did not say. It's okay. You can do that. That's fair game. That's par for the course. V'mikra hafuch. A mikra hafuch just means is that don't translate the words in sequence. You have to translate them and be a little bit creative. U'chi'ilu omar. At the end of the pasuk, heima yachad. They together, all of humanity, confidence in humanity together, is mehevel, is even lighter than hevel. Okay, now, before we do Rashi, we're going to do the Targum. The Targum says something totally different. Totally, totally different. Yeah?
Don't you think, I feel like there's a lot of faults in this and everything, but by and large, I think the majority of people are honest, and the majority, you have to be... If you don't have faith in people, you can't give a person a dollar.
I used to think just like you until I downloaded on my telephone Telegram, and I subscribed to all the conspiracy theory channels, and it poisoned my mind, and it really did. It really poisoned my mind, and. Oh, you don't have Telegram? I live on Telegram. All the conspiracy theories are on Telegram, and a lot of the stuff is totally crazy. But you know, it damages your mind. It damages your mind, and not everything is crazy. This is a joke. Is what's the difference between the truth and and the conspiracy theory? What's the difference? 6 months. Okay, all right, you're right. You know, you're right, obviously. Everything is a balance. Okay, everything is a balance. Of course, there are very good people out there. There's no question about it. There are Erlich people. There are even by the goyim, there are very good, honest people. Okay, sometimes you need to talk in extreme terms. You have to super magnify a defect in order to be aware of a danger. Okay, you're right. David over here, he's saying the whole world mamish is no good. It can't be. This is what's done in Tanakh. This is the Musar of the Nevi'im. The Musar of the Nevi'im is always coming to super duper magnify minor teeny imperfections in order to bring out a lesson and to make us better. But on a whole, but in general, people are good. You're right. People, they are very good people. It's just an extreme exaggeration. Someone who knew was very close to Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Do you ever pick up some of those booklets on the table?
The table
in shul?
too much.
I mean, okay, they have Rabbi Avigdor Miller ready for a couple of years, right? I don't know, someone's spying this. What? Teres Avigdor. So some of this stuff, not all, so there are beautiful things there. Some things there are just outrageous. You ever read? Are totally outrageous. Things that it says there in those books. And like, how do they get away with putting this on the table and letting people read it?
Because he said it.
So when he says, I know someone, he's a Zokin, he's not so well now, but years ago he told me he lived by, he's a Baal Tshuva, and if I'm ready for who knows, for decades, and he Rabbi Avigdor was his mentor, and he went to all of his shiurim, and he told me, he knew him very, very well, and he said, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, he dealt with a certain clientele, and he said, crazy things, even more crazy what it says there, not because he meant it.
He needed to be radical.
He needed in order to wake up these people. Today it wouldn't work, because today we live in a world where everything is recorded and everything on the internet, and you know, you say the wrong word, oh, you're not politically correct. It's a different world today. You can't. You're talking to a very small group of people who comes to a shul, they come upstairs to a little shul, and he would say these outrageous, crazy things just for theater, because he was dealing with a certain clientele, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, and for those people, he wanted to shake them up. So he said things that were like Today you can never say such things. And the, what's the proof? I'll tell you the proof, because I remember in his very last years, I used to daven the yeshiva of Shmuel Miller, his son, Zichron Levrach. He passed away during COVID. Both him and his wife died from COVID. Very, very tragic. Of Shmuel Miller, he moved to Lakewood. But before he moved to Lakewood, he had here for at least...
No, his wife
did not COVID.
No, no.
I take it back then.
Yeah.
But she passed away.
She
passed away. But he died from COVID?
She was up with his son. She fell.
But he died from COVID?
No, he had actually a problem.
Okay, so I take it back to that. That's what I remember hearing. But I remember him very well for at least 20 years. He had the yeshiva here where Turo is now on Ocean Avenue. Ocean Avenue. Ocean Avenue and J.
You see my son was in Manado there.
The
I remember.
Yeah. Oh yeah? So I used to dive in there a lot. I lived around the corner. I would go there now. I dive in there a lot. And I would dive in there very often Sunday at 1:30 Mincha. And every Sunday at 1:30 Mincha, Rav Avigdor Miller himself would come and give a shmuz. I think before Mincha or after, I don't remember, before Mincha or after Mincha. And he would come with the whole entourage. It was like this very last years with an entourage. And he would come into the yeshiva, and he would give a shmuz, a musar shmuz, in Yiddish. And there was a big chevra. A lot of people came just for the musar shmuz. And he spoke, like, very heavy, like very, very deep things. Very, very deep things. He didn't talk there what it says in those pamphlets. You would never, ever, in your wildest dreams, think it's the same person. Mm. Never. He spoke, he gave like a much more serious Musa Shmuz than I've ever seen in my entire life. In any yeshiva, anything I've been exposed to. He sat down there with a heaviness, with the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he spoke very heavy hechara in yonim. Because he was talking to a group of people that were very serious B'nai Torah, and he was talking to them, you know, you would ever imagine that he would come out of his mouth things that you read in those books over there? You got to read those. You ever read these books? It's almost laughable. Because these are recordings. These are recordings that they took of him speaking to a select group of people who were, you know, a little different. And he was there. You know, they looked up. They loved him. They looked up to him. They all tachas his wings. He took them under his wings. And for those people, he went and he said this. Partially entertainment, partially theater to shake them up. It was a derech. So you don't get carried away with what it says there. See also, just because David over here he says the whole humanity is worthless, it doesn't mean to be taken 100% literally. He's coming to super magnify minor imperfections in order to bring out points. It's not. It's a very common thing. Okay, let's go to the Targum.
By the way. I don't think he's saying all humanity is worthless. What he's saying is, "Ach hevel b'nei odom, habitochen al b'nei odom."
Right, so we said the confidence, putting.
It's the aspect of. Of
right, I said that.
Who
I said that.
B'nei odom,
I, we said that.
And people, yeah, but not all of mankind. In other words, this aspect, this concept of trusting in other people,
right.
Maybe it's a minority, maybe it's one.
Okay.
It's not talking about all of humanity.
Okay, it's subject to interpretation. I'm not. You're right. You are correct. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. The Targum says the Targum. The same Targum as a Hakadama to Rashi. In this order, Targum. Let's try to translate the words. The hard words to translate. Pasuk Yud. Bram. Bram is the translation of the word Ach. But Luma v'nei Nasha. Luma means what are they worth? Lama, what is like the word lama is the translation of the word hevel. Hevel means futility. It's like ma. Ma means what is this? Vinachnu ma. Moshe and Aaron said, "What are we? Vinachnu ma." It's an expression. We're nothing, nothing. So lama v'nei nosha. Nosha means Adam. A translation of the word Adam. What is man worth? Basically, it's just a translation that man is full of futility. And then it says the word kad vuva. Kad vuva means, it means a lie. Okay, this is the Aramaic translation of a lie.
The dalad and the zayin are interchangeable.
Very good, excellent. The dalad and the zayin are interchangeable in Aramaic. So it's like chazov, kad vuna, vinei givar. Ish and Ish, over here you see over here an allusion. We said before that Ish means a dominating person, and Adam just stam, a follower. There are followers and there are the people who dominate, the leaders. So the B'nai Gvar means the leaders. They're all liars. They're all a bunch of liars. Notice he doesn't talk over here. He doesn't mention over here anything about faith. That's not a kasha because the Targum doesn't you know, embellish. He just translates the words literally pretty much. Now he says something that is totally different than what it says in Rashi. And he says over here, Shiduchim. We're now going into the parasha of Shiduchim. Kadwen, Yisvun Nishin. When a person gets married, okay, that is b'moznayim la'alois. What's it called, moznayim? Moznayim are twins. Moznayim means there's a scale. What's a scale? They're connected. There's man and there's a woman. One side is the man, one side is the woman, and there's some type of mechanism which connects the two together. The word moznayim, according to the Targum, is a symbol of husband and wife. You ever hear that before? No. Not me. Okay, you look at the Aron HaKodesh. Like someone once said to me, you know, we say today, you know, a lot of people, Rachmana Lissan, a very hard time with Shidduchim. And the Agmas Nefesh that parents have is beyond belief. And like someone said to me, we say on the Yom Nerom, Unsana Taikef, Sana Taikef, Mi Yichye, Mi Yomus, Mi Barash, Mi Bo'esh, Mi Bikisa, Mi Yishon Bikisa. How come it doesn't say in Unsana Taikef, who's going to get married, who's not going to get married? It's like, it's such a major component of life. It occupies the mind of most people 24/7. So you would think that in the Nisana Taikef, me ye oni, me ye osher, me will get find the shidduch for their daughter, who won't find the shidduch for their daughter. What? Okay, you're giving a very liberal translation of miyichya miyamos. Okay, like someone said to me, you would think that in the Nisana Taikev, because since this is what occupies the mind of most people 24/7, you would think, who will find the shidduch for their child? Who won't find the shidduch for their child? Mi barash, mi this, right? That ad kidei kach. So you know, and the truth is, you know, in the Nisana Taikev, if you look in the davening, there is a lot of allusion to the concept of shidduchim. And it's interesting when you see this over here, b'moznayim, you know, the global symbol of Rosh Hashanah on every piece of Judaica that you will find in this world is a scale, which means mishpat. We take your averos and we take your mitzvahs and we put them on the scale, which the truth is doesn't make any sense because we all know that ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud, one has nothing to do with the other. You get rewarded for the mitzvahs and you're punished for the averos. So the whole mashal that a scale is a symbol for mishpat is a little questionable. It is a question. Why? How did that come about in society that a scale, you go to a nice shul and they have all, you know, on the stained glass windows all the symbols of the Chodesh Hashanah. This is it. You can't deny that in Klal Yisrael it is accepted that a scale, Meiznayim, is the symbol of mishpat for the Yomim Noiroim. Why is that so? Okay, you'll find my Maariv Chazal that will indicate that's correct. So you know, im Kabbalah hi nikabel im Hanach lohem li Yisrael inam neviim b'nei neviim. But when you read this pasuk over here, it's very interesting. The Targum learns that a scale is a symbol for a husband and wife. There are two parts of one apparatus. And there's a Hayluchud v'hayluchud. There's a mechitza. There's a bar in the middle. But there is a mechanism that connects the two together. They operate together. Sometimes, you know, there's a whole new taich in understanding marriage. To look at husband and wife as a metaphor for marriage as moznayim. Go to the Mishnayis and Masechta Kelim, look at all the different components of the scale, and try to understand if there is some truth to this concept or how it relates. But let's read the Targum. Kad when yisvun nishin. When you marry a woman. So what happened? B'mischa sa on a scale. The word b'mischa means a scale. Yiskelun is weighed. Mazol lehon their mazel, their fate. In other words, every person's fate in life is dramatically affected by their partner. But a person can live his life, you know, everyone is mazel. There's a certain mazel you have in life. And when the person gets married, the other person also has a mazel. And the interaction of two people, independent people, they come together, there is an unknown chemical reaction of mazel that takes place when two separate individuals come together, and the result is completely, no one can know what the result is. It's a very, very fascinating concept. We all have this concept, mazel. You say when a person gets married, what do you say? Mazel tov. Why do you say mazel tov? I don't know. It's a very, look at this targum. It has to be, when you say to a person mazel tov, it is rooted to a degree in this targum. When a person gets married, you have your mazel, and you have your mazel. You're getting married. You don't know. You don't know how your mazel and your mazel, when they come together, what happens? You're a different person. Not because you're a different person, it's because every person has a mazel in life. Person would never get married. So there's a mazel. He'll live a certain number of years. He'll make a certain amount of money. He'll have a certain type of job. He'll live in a certain part of the world, certain living conditions. And if the woman wouldn't get married, she'll have her mazel. Now you get together. So what would you say happens? Oh, so there's some balance, there's some type of combination. No. It's a chemical reaction. A chemical reaction, sometimes you can take two different chemicals, put them together, they can be an explosion. And sometimes you can put two chemicals together, you can produce a product that is unbelievable, that is wonderful. And no one knows the science. No one in this world knows the science of what happens when you take two, a mazel from this, a mazel from this, and you bring them together.
Take the basics. Hydrogen is explosive. Oxygen is explosive. Together, they're water.
There's the example. So that is why when two people get together, what do you say? Mazal tov. Because this is dangerous. You go into a wedding, this is a danger zone. Put on a hard hat and a has and a suit. Because there's a chemical reaction taking place over here. Two mazolites are coming together. What's going to happen? Like you always say, this guy, who was that? Now he's on top of the world. He's a billionaire. He's this, he's that. And who's zchus? His wife's zchus. Or is she, no one ever heard of her. Now they get married. All of a sudden, she's a big, big macha and this and that. There's a combination of mazel which creates a whole new dynamic. So you go to a wedding, you say mazal tov. Why? Look in Sefer Tehillim, Mizmor Samach Beis, Pasuk Yud Yud, and look in the Targum. Marriage is called a scale, and it's a mashal, and they are weighed. They are, when a man and woman get married, they're being weighed on their mazel is being weighed, which is an expression which means there's some type of magical, supernatural thing that it's happening in Shemayim. Read the words one more time. It says here, B'nei Nosh when Yisvun Nishin, when they get married, B'mis Chasa, on a scale, Yiskilun Mazolehoin. Unbelievable what it says over there. We're not finished yet. We're going to see the Rashi and what it says on the Sif says it's him. Next. And then he finishes off. Hinun Garmehoin Min Loma. They both come from nothing. They both, he means they, Hema means they, the Choson and the Kala. Mehevel, from nothingness, Gar Mehoin means everything that they have, they, this word is really being added into the Pasuk. It doesn't say this. It doesn't say this in the.
They come from. Like a grammar, it was caused by.
And it doesn't say this word is not in the pasuk. It's adding this in. Min loma from nothingness. Havoin they become kachado. Now the way that is explained, this we have very long beforeshim the midrashim, and it basically means before they came into this world, our bohim yoim koidim yitzira. There's a basco that's machriz, bas ployni leployni. It's bashert. So at a time when they were nothing, when they were hevel, hevel here doesn't mean futility, nonsense. It means they didn't exist. At a moment of time in this world, when they did not yet exist, they were in Shamayim, their neshamos were in Shamayim, in a very raw state. The neshama in its raw state is called hevel. At that time, already it was decided, yachat, you and you are going to be together. There's going to be a zivug. So this pasuk is unbelievable. Who would ever know? In Mizvah Samach Beis, we're talking about the secrets of Shidduchim. We're talking about the concept of Arbom Yom Kodma Yitzira, the Machlis in Shemayim, Bas Pleni Lipon, the concept of Bashert, which itself is a very explosive topic. A very, very touchy topic, this thing called Bashert. And in fact, okay, you have the whole Medrash over here on the bottom. It's a Machlokes. Over here, the Yushalmi basically says that the concept of Bashert is a Machlokes. Machlokes Tanoim. Okay, you don't have to even go. The Bavli. The Bavli says Bashert is Zivig Rishon and Zivig Sheni is not. The Yushalmi doesn't say that. The Yushalmi says it's a Machlokes Tanoim, if there's such a concept of Bashert. And the Gemara, they bring a raya from this pasuk. They bring a raya that there is a concept of Bashert. But other Machtanim said, no such thing. Whoever told you this, what are you talking about? There's no such thing. They learned the Pshat and the pasuk, like the Mitzudas David. We're not talking about Shidduchim over here. Who's talking about Shidduchim? We're talking about over here having faith in man. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. Okay, anytime you say the word Bashert with older singles, boy, you're in a lot of trouble. Stay away from that. That's a very dangerous topic to get into, topic of Bashert. But over here, the Targum is saying just that. He's saying, Hinun gar mehoin min lama. They come from nothing at a time. I have to translate it more precisely. At a time when they were nothing, havoin kachado, they were already one. It was already decided that this raw material in Shemayim, with that raw material on the other side of the Mechitza in Shemayim, are going to be united into one unit here on this world when they come down to this world and mature. Okay, the topic. So it says we have two different concepts about Shidduchim.
The Targum is saying, Kach Yispun Lishin, then they're weighed. And where did they come from? Now they become one when they get married. You see, he's not saying anything about that's what it seems to me.
Okay, maybe there are different. This is the way the translation read. I studied the translation. It could be the other way. It could be right. I'm just saying one mahalach. Like I said, everyone has a different approach. This is the way I saw in the translation. He breaks it up into two different parts, and he says the first. And also, when you read the medrash, also it's very difficult to explain. When you read the medrash, the Likutei Shas, then it's like almost, now I understand. You get a much better, when we diminish later, you'll get a much better appreciation of what the Targum really is trying to say. If you just read the Targum by itself, it's very difficult to really appreciate what he's trying to say. When you read the Medrash and you see the concepts, and then you go back to the, now it clicks. At least it appears. I'm not saying it's the only shot. Okay, we're just learning together. Fine. So these are two amazing, amazing topics, and I think it also, what to me is the most amazing, it touches upon why we say Mazal Tov. I once had a discussion with a rabbi at the Siyum HaShas. They did not do this. I remember very clearly the past Siyum HaShas, and then the previous Siyum HaShas. So the Siyum HaShas 2 times ago, in it was in MetLife and also, right? I'm very forgetting all the whole sequence. After that. They had already had twice in MetLife, right? They had already twice.
Twice
in MetLife. So the first time in MetLife, they said the Kaddish. I don't know how to remember that. It could be in Masfingon also. But they finished, they Masayim Shas. And they said the Kaddish. Yiskadal v'yiskadash, the whole long Kaddish. Be'omodu osel l'schadata. Ula achayom meisaya, the whole long Kaddish. And they got to... And they get to know, he says, he dav marav. Ladies, give dav marav. He dav marav. This, whoever, I don't remember, it doesn't make a difference, whoever it was. And then dav yiron b'yalma v'yimru amein. And then I remember the person, I'm not going to say his name, he took the microphone and he said, Mazel Tov, very loud on the microphone, and then the music started. That was 2 times ago. If I'm not mistaken, this time, they dav yiron b'yalma v'yimru amein, and the music started. What?
Said Kaddish, they screamed out.
Who screamed out?
Somebody screamed out.
On the microphone?
You definitely hear it. It's only said Mazel Tov.
People in the audience.
Somebody On the dais. Okay, okay, fine, okay. But not so much. So that's how I remember. So I was talking to a very big Talmud Chacham, and he told, and I said to him, we were learning a certain thing. He said, L'choira, it's not the right thing to say by Yisim. By Yisim, it's not totally mazel. We were learning this topic about I don't remember the details. And it was very clear from what we were learning, there are many opinions, it doesn't make a difference, you know, who cares, you know, whatever you want. But L'choira, the bracha you give a person when you are Mesayim or Mesechta, or you accomplish in learning, is not mazel tov. It has nothing to do with mazel. It has nothing to do with mazel. It has to do with your amelus. It's not. It's laba mazel talia milsa. You want to learn. You learn. You don't learn. Maybe it's a mazel if you're a chacham. You're a tippish. But accomplishing and learning Torah, l'choira, it is not the accurate. You can say whatever you want to say. I'll also say
you could be in different circumstances.
Well, you had mazel that you were able to do this.
Like, for example, I came out a certain sefer was written by a big Rosh Hashiva, and then I started to have a biography in the beginning. So I said to myself, you have to read the biography. Of course he became a Rosh Hashiva, because he had all these up. He came from a rabbinic family in a certain country. He went to learn at an institute. He had the opportunity. Some other people don't have those opportunities.
Okay, but L'chor, that's not what you mean to say when you say mazel tov b'yisim. It's because, oh, you have good mazel, you had all of the opportunities. The reason why you were Messiah myself is because you were blessed to have all of the opportunities to learn.
Right.
I mean, okay, that's obvious. But is that what you, the ikur thing you say now that you are Messiah of the Mesechta? That's a backdrop. You had very good mazel to have a very good Rebbe, a very good parents, a good this and good that, and time to learn. But when the bottom line is,
the people, for example, that grew up in the Depression, okay, they didn't have the, and they grew up in America, they didn't have the opportunities.
But let's say you'll have a...
There was no Masiftis, and then finally when they reached the age when the war started, and they went to the army, and they went to the army, these people lost out.
100%.
So-called big people played these people down with mamish disgusting war.
I know. But let's say you have a person that did not have any opportunity. Let's say you'll have a person who had no opportunity, the bottom of the barrel, all he had zero, and yet he was moiser nefesh to learn, and he was mesayim mesechta. So you're going to say mazel tov to him? You didn't have the mazel. You overcame your mazel. Your mazel was such that you had zero opportunity to learn. Al derech hateva, the chance of you being mesayim this mesechta is zero. How are you Messiah of the Mesechta? I was Messiah of the Mesechta. So to him, you shouldn't say mazel tov. And even if a person had all of the opportunities, we see Rachmanu with some people who are brought up al taras hakodesh, and they reject everything. And even if it's because of his, when you Messiah of the Mesechta, that's not the focus. The focus is, wow, you were omal, you toiled, you accomplished. Learning Torah is lav b'mazel talya milsa. It's your decision to learn Torah. It's true, there is mazel. Everything has mazel. Hakol b'mazel talya milsa. I feel the same as Hashem Eichel. But so this is part of a discussion. So now the question is, what exactly does it mean? Mazel. Bo God. Bo mazal tov. God. When God was born, why is God called mazel? Why is God called? Because God means mazel. Bo mazal tov. Rashi and Chumash. Bo mazal tov. What is that all about? I don't know. There are a lot of mefarshim, but you can't deny the fact that in Klal Yisrael, the ikur zman to say mazal tov toiv is by a wedding, not by a bar mitzvah. We say it all the time. We say it on Thanksgiving. You can say whatever you want. You get off from work.
Even when you sell diamonds.
Okay. So, right. Exactly. We abuse everything today. Today we live in a world, everything is the global conglomerate of everything together. We live in the.
Should you do like the Sfarim, say Chazak
Baruch. When do they say Chazak Baruch? When they sell diamonds.
No, but you finish a Masechta, you should say Chazak.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Exactly. The term Mazal Tov appears to be in rabbinic literature. In rabbinic literature, appears to be an expression that is Miyuchod. That is designated specifically for a chasam kala. not for a bar mitzvah, not for a bris, not for a siyum. I'm not telling you what we do today. Today we do everything. Today there are no rules, no regulations. We live in the Olam Shel Hefker. But in the rabbinic literature, it appears that this is miyuchad for a chasen kala. Why? Why? Well, here we have some source material. The Targum and Tehillim, Samach Beis, Pasuk Yud. Okay, now let's do Rashi very quickly because I want to finish this part. It's very late. Look at the Rashi. The Rashi says something which now touches upon, combines what we learned in the Mitzudas David and what it says in the Targum. Rashi says, Ach Hevel B'nei Adam. Rashi takes a different approach than the Mitzudas. Whereas the Mitzudas says it's futile to have faith, be tochoin in man. That's not what he says. He says, don't be afraid of them. When they come knocking on your door and start telling you about global warming and about 15-minute cities and about eating bugs and all these nonsense things over here, v'al tiru mehem, don't be afraid of your political leaders who are trying to do strange things you never heard of before, these very bizarre things. V'al tiru mehem. Me'achar she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, machasel lanu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's sheltering us. B'moiznayim la'alois. And he goes on to talk, you see, this is different than Rashi. Mitzudas spoke about confidence. Here we're talking about fear. Don't be afraid. Kol ha'olam kuloi gesher, tsar me'oid, v'ho ikor, sheloi lefached oid. Who said those words? Rav Nachman Mibreslov. The famous words of Rav Nachman, which is the song. Kol ha'olam kuloi, the entire world is gesher, tsar, a very narrow bridge. It traveling across a very, v'ho ikor, sheloi lefached oid. Don't be afraid at all. Okay, beautiful words. Who can be so eloquent to say such beautiful words? You know what else is his words? You know, well, that beautiful, another beautiful song. Another about Mashiach. Anyone want to help me with it? There's a beautiful song that became very popular a couple of years ago. No, it's a slow song. No. About... Thank you. No.
I only know all these.
No, there's a very beautiful song. It's a slow song. All right, I can't remember now. It's his words. The words are just so eloquent. Rav Nachman Mibreslov is not... Breslov has a lot to offer, Rabbi Yisai. You know, Breslov, he was an incredible person, Rav Nachman Mibreslov. He had tremendous koich hadibur, koich of eloquence beyond belief. B'moiznayim la'alois, imbo la'alois b'moiznayim, if you would put them on a scale, heim, they, our these people who are tyrants, these liars, these people who are trying to harm us, who we are afraid of, don't be afraid of them. Don't be so afraid. If we would put them on a scale, v'ha'hevel, and we would also put on the other side of the scale, the concept of futility, guess what? Shavim. They would be equal. Equal. In other words, the two main differences between Rashi and the Mitzudois is, as Rabbi Mordechai pointed out, the Mitzudois says that they're lighter. They're even worse than Hevel. They're lighter, whereas Rashi says they're Shavim. And the second difference is, what are we coming to weigh? According to the Mitzudois, we're coming to weigh having faith, the concept of having faith in these people, whereas according to Rashi, we're coming to weigh our fear, the people themselves. They're not kedai to waste your time on these people. It's not kedai. They're worthless. Now, kein pishutoi. Now, then he says, umidrashoi l'inyan hazugois. Now, what does he read? You read this Rashi, what? What are you talking about? Zugois? What is zugois? You know, you're not superstitious. You're not allowed to have two cups of anything. Like, but you know, you're not allowed to have two eggs, two or something. No. Well, after you learn the Targum, it's obvious what he means. It means shiduchim, and he says it umidrashai. L'inyan hazuz. So over here, Rashi is first going with a similar approach to what we learned in the Mitzudos, and then he goes with the approach of the Targum, the Targum. Now look at the Oiz Dalid on the side. This is really amazing when he goes on over here. Dal, and the sit is again. Ayin, Perish Rashi, Zal, Shakostav, Midrash, Shoy, Linyan, Hazugas, Ad Kan, L'shoynei. Why did Rashi have to come onto the Medrash? The Koshel Rashi, because if you want to make sense of the Pasik, of weighing them on a scale, we can't go this, do this again, you have to slice and dice the Pasik. You have to butcher the Pasik. And you know, even though we do this all the time, it's not the ideal thing to do, to take a Pasik, take out a knife, and take the words and slice them and rearrange them in a different order to make sense, and then also embellish it with a lot of words. He doesn't like that. The Lefim Shutay Kein Hoyulei Loimar Hema VeHevel Yochad. They see. By the way, see Rashi doesn't. Rashi learns what Yachad means: equal, not like the Mitzudos said. It means all together. According to the Mitzudos, Yachad means take all of mankind together, together and. The concept of having faith in everyone together. Rashi learns that yachad means equal. If you would put them and all them, all the people, and hevel, yachad, they're equal. That's not such a good translation. Yachad doesn't mean equal. He's playing around with it a little bit. Well, the zem of farish doesn't really like, and also the words are not in order. The words are not in order. And therefore, Rashi is obviously very uncomfortable with that pshat. And that is why he has to inject, okay, if you don't like the pshat, there's always a backup. There's a backup, there is the medrash. Okay? Ulzeh mefarish umidrash l'inyan hazugas. Ritzon olaymar, shalafi hadrash, nicha shapir. You can translate the words in order. Nicha shapir, hema mehevel yochad. With daika, which means they, the choson and the kala. At the time when they were in a state of hevel, which means in shamayim, before their neshamos were developed, it was already decreed arbom yom kodim ayitzira bas ployni leployni. They were already yochad. So the words flow much better lefi the medrash. Daika v'hine. Now he says some very powerful stuff here. The Sif says again v'hine reisi sharabim v'chein shleimim. Many people who learn Tehillim. You know, many people learn Tehillim. And the Gam Shleim, people that are, you know, they're Sholem in Torah. They're big Talmidei Chachamim. Paku Baroe. They are, Paku means they broke forth Baroe. I don't really know what this means, which means, let's see, Sherohu B'targum Yonis and Zal, Shemefaresh Gamhu. I think it means they made a big mistake. I think it means, I saw many Talmid, Paku means you break out. They break out Baroe. It's an expression. I don't know how to translate it literally.
Maybe the insight that they saw in the Targum.
But it seems that it means they made a big mistake. It's an expression which means they rebelled. They rebelled. They saw something exciting, and what they saw exciting caused them to break away.
That's the Paku.
The Paku. They broke away by seeing this shot.
The insight
that they saw. Targum Yonis. Now, first of all, there is no such thing as Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel. I don't know, what does he mean over here? There is no such thing. It's a Beferish Gemara. It's a Beferish Gemara. There's no Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel on Kesuvin. Okay, so he's saying over here, he means Targum Yosef, our Targum. Okay, he doesn't mean, he's not precise by saying the word Yonison. Zal. Shemefarish Gam Humit Yinazugus. Oh, that's the Medrash. Right, so when Rashi says Zugois, what? Umidrash is Zugois? What Medrash? Look on the page, look at the Targum. The Targum quotes you the whole Medrash in a few words. Fine. The Choshu says, Shezeh Sheperish Rashi Zal Umidrash Oilina Zugois. That's what it means. Like we learned. We read the Rashi. We learned the Mahalach of the Mitzvah. Then we learned Umidrash. We read the Targum. Aval, the Sif says, Zikadim says, all of these Rabim Ushleimim are making a big mistake. That's not what Rashi means. When Rashi says umidrash alinin zugois, it's not referring to the pshat in the Targum. The Targum. Avaloi nachti veloi shokatiti. I have no menucha from this. Vayovoi olaya roiges. I'm very angry. I'm very angry at the world for this going on. Heich yoimer pe kodesh Rashi zal ala Targum yoinasan umidrashoi. It appears that the Sifsei Zakenim is fluent in all of the rabbinic literature, And there is no such medrash anywhere in the world that says this idea that this pasuk is referring to shidduchim.
That he's looking in Targum Yarmusin.
Rashi just says umidrashoy zugos. So what is umidrashoy zugos? Oh, what it says in the Targum. Excuse me, the Targum is not a medrash. And so you're no, we're coming. It's a different medrash. It's coming down in a second. We're coming down to a
Rashi
second. Okay, let's see. I didn't realize that. Let's see. Okay, we have to see. Okay, 1 second. And he says, I'm very disturbed that people are saying that when Rashi says Midrash Zugois, they're connecting Rashi to the Targum. Because guess what? There's no such Midrash. There is no such Midrash that translates this pasuk regarding Shidduchim. And also, there's another issue over here. Okay, let's read the words. No, because I think they already put in what he's going to say. They already put in the Rashi what he's about to say. Okay, they already alluded to that. This was not part of Rashi. Never wrote this. These Marim Mekoymos were put in much later. Even the Arshul put this in. And also, they're not always accurate. These is a very dangerous Marim Mekoymos. Every time we ask, they're very dangerous Marim Mekoymos. Every time Rashi has a passion about something, kosav mifayrosh yoytze tirgum yoynasan. He writes explicitly what the Targum says. Every time Rashi wants to say the pshat in the pasuk is like the Targum, Rashi is not shy. He's not shy. He doesn't want to save ink. And if it's a Targum, he says the Targum. Now, by the way, this is very, the whole thing is very difficult. Rashi never quotes Targum in Tehillim. This is what's difficult about the Sifas Hakeinim, because there is no Targum on Tehillim. And the Targum that we have over here I don't even know who wrote it. It's not so clear who wrote this Targum, but it's not Yoinasan. And anyway, he's saying if Rashi really refers to a Targum, maybe he's referring to a Targum Yonason somewhere in the Vim, another Targum Yonason. If Rashi is passionate about what it says in the Targum, he says it. He doesn't have to go and say a Medrash. Therefore, Kosav Mefarish Yoytze Targum, Kosav Mefarish Yoytze Targum, Yoytze, this comes out from the Targum Yonason. I think that's what he means over here. But what's the MS? So now let me tell you the real pshat in Rashi. When Rashi says zugos umidrash zugos, avol Rashi zal kivein el hamedrash rabba seder emor. That's what you see over here. Vayikra. That's what it says over here. They added this. The reason why they added this maramokim in Rashi is clearly because of the sifsei zikainim. V'zel l'shoynoi Rabbi Chia bar Abba b'shem Rabbi Levi pasach ach hevel b'nei adam. Kaza b'nei ish v'chulu heima mehevel yochad b'noyek sheba oylam mo habriyos oimrim ish ploini noisei ploinis. It's talking about shidduchim, but not the way Targum says it. It's a different concept. People say, oh, this fellow, I'm not sure I understand this marriage. I didn't look it up, I apologize, but let's just read what it says over here. This person, oh, we're going to a wedding. This person, Ish ploini is noisei ploinis. Achevel b'nei adam. Likewise, ploinis tinosei lifloini. Sometimes they say the other way around, that ploinis, this woman, is marrying this man. Kaz b'nei ish. Hey, mo mehevel yochad. What does that mean? Omar Rabbi Chia, ad shehein asuyin hevel b'soich me'ei imon, hey mo yachad v'kal lehovin. All right, so
I'm not
sure that the real difference between what the Targum says and what he's saying over here of Zugos. He's saying indeed Shidduchim, but it's different. It's a different pshat, a different mahalach in Shidduchim. And he's saying is people think they make the decision. Everything here is subject to interpretation. People say this man, he chose to marry this woman. Sometimes they say this woman chose to marry this man. It was their decision who they wanted to marry in life.
Do you take so-and-so?
What? Ach hevel b'nei Adam is going on the man. It's going on when the man, I chose to marry this woman. When it says kaza b'nei ish is going when people say, oh, she selected him. She could have had any boy that she wanted. She was a princess. She could marry anyone, and she decided, all the boys were lining up around the block to marry her. And she decided to marry this boy. That's a lie. He didn't have a choice. She didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice. When did this happen? Ish b'moznayim la'alois. A person goes up the scale, which basically means he enters into matrimony, and they stand there under the chuppah. He's on one side, he's on the other side. Again, the moznayim is a metaphor for marriage. Hema, you know when this came about? Mehevel yochad. Now he says, in this medrash, it says when they were in their mother's womb. This is not what it says. It says, arboim yom koidim yitzira. What is arboim koidim? What is the time of conception? The time of conception? Whatever it means exactly, it means it's a moment of bashert. Arboim yom koidim yitzira. When they were in a state of heaven, he ties it to be the time when they were in their mother's womb. Heima besoich me'ei iman. Heim. Yachad, it was bashert. They had no choice in who they were going to marry. V'kal lehovin. Now, it could be I'm missing something. It could be when it says Lin Hazugois, he's quoting a Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Maybe I'm totally missing something. Maybe if he's quoting a Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, he's not referring to the Targum on our page. Because the Targum on our page is clearly not Yonasan ben Uziel. Maybe there's another pasuk. I looked a little mafarshim on the page. I spent time preparing this. I didn't come across any other Targum that's in Nevi'im that talks about this pasuk. So I thought he's referring over here to the Targum on this page, which clearly talks about Shidduchim, and it talks about a different concept, which the Medrash makes no mention of. The concept that's mentioned in the Targum is Mazel. Mazel. When a chosen and kala gets married, there is a recalibration of their mazel. Each one has your mazel, you get married, oh, we're going to put on the scale, the mazel, and there's going to be a recalibration. It does not say that in the Medrash, Vayikra Rabba Choftes Ches. It does not say that. So the Sivsei Zikanim says, I'm very angry at what's going on in this world. People are attributing the pshat of Rashi Zugois purely to the Targum. You're right and you're wrong. We're dealing with Shidduchim, but we're not dealing with Mazel. We're dealing with a simple Targum, nothing is simple, in Emor, which quotes this pasuk and talks about Shidduchim and says something a little bit different what it says in the Targum. It says, the whole pasuk, not just the second part of the pasuk, when you hear people talk about a boy could have had any girl he wanted and he decided to take this girl, or you hear people talk about a girl who could have any boy that she wanted and decided she would pick this boy, that's a lie. That's total nonsense, because Shidduchim are barshert. And when they were in a state of Hevel, which he learns in their mother's womb, it was already Hachrozam and Hashamayim, Bas Ploini Leploini. That's not what the Targum says. The Targum talks about Shidduchim, but talks primarily about Mazel. He then at the end also talks about that it was barshert, the second part.
Rabbi, in Meditations, is it proper to write in Bechiras Libo?
You can do whatever you want. Who says Mechiris Libo? It's Bas Giloy. On some invitations, Ayin Beis Gimel, which means Im Bas Giloy, his mazel. And some write in Bechiras, in the more modern they write, in Bechiras Libo. Bechiras Libo. They have a circle. In Bechiras Libo. And on the bottom is in Bechiras Libo. You ever see that? It's in the more modern circles they do that. All right, listen, as long as they get married and they stay married, okay, the goal is, today you have to wish her, you get married and you stay married, it doesn't make any difference. It makes a difference, this, that, what difference? I remember the Roish Koilel in Torah Vadas, Rabbi Label Williger, when he married off one of his children, I was friendly with him, so he invited me, he gave me the invitation, and he was like an Elusha person, and he said to me, I'm giving you a homework assignment, and I want you to show me, to come back and show me, he gave me the invitation, show me 10 chidushim on the invitation. 10 chidushim that he, in the nusach of the invitation, he didn't follow, no, the template of the printer. He like chidushim lahalacha. So I was able to get most of them. I couldn't get all of them. It was very interesting. Okay, we're going to stop here, and Mir Shem will continue more of this tomorrow.
Sam, I don't want to end this thing. Don't call me anymore.